Welcome to the Spirit of Faith Political Prophetics Podcast with your host, Dr. Paula Price. Learn from civil and kingdom leaders, politicians, city and state officials, and more. Combine faith with facts and discover how God starts everything with a prophet, because they give God vivas, a voice, influence, vote, access, and seat at the tables of this world.
Hi, family. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Spirit of Faith Political Prophetics. Now, you're going to have a blast. I am excited about the guest I have today. But for you who are new to me, let me tell you what this is all about. The premise of this is that God starts everything with the prophets. Prophets have always served government. They've been in high officials. They've been presidents. They've been monarchs, even generals and military people, as well as philosophers. And why am I doing this? Because we are getting crushed by darkness. We're getting slammed by the occult. But in the historical sense, God has always gone to war with his prophets. People are asking me everywhere I go, Dr. Price, what's happening? Where is God? What is he doing? He's gathering his prophets and he's gathering his apostles to join the church, to join the kingdom, but also to push back on this darkness. Why? Because God starts everything with the prophet, because he does everything by his word. And you know why? Because prophets give him vivas, a voice, influence, vote, access, and seat at the tables of the world. My guest today is a man that's near and dear to my heart. He is the reason why we're doing this. I want to introduce you to Senator Nathan Dom, who is also chairman of the OKGOP, and who has given me this wonderful appointment as chairman of Faith Over Community Outreach. So he's going to introduce himself, and then I'm going to ask him all kinds of questions. Make sure you listen in and go tell your friends, log on. It's a good thing.
Well, obviously, first of all, thank you for having me. It's always a great opportunity to join with you, Dr. Price. Appreciate everything that you all are doing. Honored to have you serving in that capacity within the OKGOP. As you mentioned, I am a state senator for Broken Arrow. I've been in that capacity for 12 years, and I have worked to try to get the church more involved in government. For far too long, we bought into this lie that there's supposed to be a separation of church and state, which is nowhere mentioned in the Constitution and the Declaration or any of those things.
No.
And when you look throughout scriptures, you see God's people involved in government. You see God's hand in government. From the very beginning, when God created the family structure, which is a form of government, all the way throughout, Abraham dealt with kings. I mean, you can just go through every book of the Bible. I mean, there's even books of the Bible called First and Second Kings, right? And so, and of course, we have the prophets, books of the prophets. And so it is God's plan that his church be involved in government, that he have a voice in government. And you're right, we haven't seen enough of that. For those that don't know, I actually grew up overseas. My parents moved as missionaries to Eastern Europe when I was 10 years old. So I've seen the impact of an atheist government, of communism, of trying to attack God's church and the direction that can go. So when I moved back to Oklahoma, which was, you know, back in 2007, so quite a few years ago, I have seen the what was a slow march towards communism and slow socialism and anti-God to what is now a full-on breakneck speed that they're trying to push us towards everything anti-God, everything atheist, everything socialist, communist, all these things that are tied together, which ties into, like you said, that darkness.
The darkness. And what's interesting about it, and family, you've heard me say this a whole lot, and, you know, I call us family because the Bible says we're made of one blood, so that makes us family. And so one of the things that I always say is that the first prophet was Abel, and you know people don't know that. And Abel founded civilization. So civilization was founded by prophets. Politics originated by prophets. So even though we have family, that's the domestic realm, but in the kingdom / empire realm, God started with prophets. How do we know that? Jesus says that in Luke 11:49 and 2:51. It's important for us to recognize that that is the first voice and the first power he moves. Now you, I want to ask you about that. We talked about prophets. And when you read the Bible, don't you see the exact same occultic practices and customs and rituals that they're telling us new today, and I'm sure you saw them growing up.
Everything's the same, you know, nothing new under the sun. They just repackage it, try and do it in different ways, maybe give it a different name. Mm-hmm. But we've seen this throughout human history. I mean, what is the devil always trying to do? Satan is always trying to destroy humanity.
Exactly.
He's always going after the children, whether it was child sacrifice back in the day or abortion mm-hmm. in this day and age. And if he can't kill them early on, he's going to try to mutilate them. And so all these different things that we're seeing in this quote-unquote wokeism mm-hmm. is this culture that they're trying to force upon us. Again, a lot of people in the church, a lot of people in government, a lot of conservatives just wanted to be left alone.
Yeah.
Well, that's truthfully a wrong mentality.
Well, it's not leaving us alone.
Exactly. They're trying to take over every area of our life. Mm-hmm. They believe that our churches should have to proclaim their gospel. Mm-hmm. They believe that government should have to proclaim their religion, because it is a religion. Secular humanism, atheism is a religion. It is a belief system. It's a false one created by Satan to mislead people, but people bought into that, unfortunately. So that's why we need stuff like this, what you're doing, with people being vocal, lending voice to the Word of God, because that's how we counter these falsehoods, is with truth, and the truth in God's Word.
So then I'm going to ask you another question, because I think everybody wants to know, how is it that you're a Christian, you're a God, obviously a godly man, we know you're a constitutionalist, I love that part, and we know also that you stand for Jesus Christ, so but you're in this dark secular era. How does that work for you?
It definitely has its challenges, having been in the state senate for 12 years. And I always fall back on the scripture that says, do not grow weary in doing good, mm-hmm. for in due time you'll reap your sure reward. I'm not in this for the reward. I focus more on on do not grow weary in doing good. It's easy to grow weary when you're in battle after battle after battle, but our reliance has to be on the Lord. We have to trust in Him, rely on Him to give us strength. And my whole goal in this life is to serve God. Mm-hmm. And when I get to heaven, here, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into your rest. There is rest upon this earth. Jesus took time away from serving the multitudes mm-hmm. and serving his disciples to rest. He pulled his disciples away mm-hmm. to rest with him. You do have to take rest here upon the earth, for sure. Absolutely, we understand that. But we still have to keep fighting. We have to fight as much as we can. And yes, there's going to be battles. Sometimes you can be battle weary when mm-hmm. you've gone through so many of them. But when you find your strength in the Lord, He will meet you every time and give you that strength when you find it in His Word.
And you got into this position as a young man. Can you tell us how you ended up? I mean, come on. Let's get real. You're overseas. You're raised as a missionary. You are in the Wikipedia as the first or only homeschool elected official. I mean, that is a great thing for those kids who are saying, I have to leave God. I have to stop being Christian. I have to give up the church. Tell us, how would you do it?
Well, and the one thing I will tell people don't believe it, but I'm actually an introvert. Okay, not as much as I was. I mean, when I was a kid, in our family, I have an older brother and a younger sister, and there was people that knew our family for years that only thought there was two kids mm-hmm. because I was so quiet that I would just sit in the corner and read, you wouldn't hear a peep from me. So mm-hmm. people didn't know I existed. Mm-hmm. That's how much of an introvert I was. And I still am very much that way, but God has graced me and I've come out of my shell in some regards with that. But when I first moved back here in 2007, I saw the direction the country was going. Mm-hmm. And because I was working over in the mission field, was doing a good job there, serving the Lord, and I was like, okay, God, why have you sent me back? Mm-hmm. I just knew I was supposed to come back. And then I'd always felt called to government. Yeah. I mean, even as a young kid, I studied the Constitution, the Declaration, all these things. So I just felt called to it. But when I moved back, I started getting involved in the party stuff and different things. And my family would always joke, even when I was younger, that maybe someday I would run for office. And I would always tell them, no, my older brother will, because he's the popular one. Mm-hmm. He's the more extravagant one, or, just better with crowds. And I'll just be his speechwriter and his chief of staff, and I'll run everything behind the scenes. I was never going to run for office. And then there was a time where an incumbent had lost his way in many different regards. The Constitution, morally, just a lot of issues. And I was trying to find somebody to run and to replace that, saying this person is not representing this district, and started visiting with a bunch of people, and they were all saying, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. So I was talking with a lady who was a great prayer warrior, and she said, well, have you prayed about it? You should probably do it. And I was having my Jonah and Nineveh moment, like, no, I do not want to do this. I'm not going to do it. Well, I admit this. I say I got my heart right, but I was obedient, but I wasn't very willing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I did it, but I dragged my feet the entire time. I didn't want to do it. But I did. I was at least obedient. I later repented for not being as willing as I should have been in it. And I'll be honest, in that first race, I didn't win, but I did what I was supposed to do by stepping out in that. And that's one thing that, because I've ran for other offices, mm-hmm. and I haven't won. And people will say, well, you weren't successful. Well, I did what I believe God mm-hmm. told me to do. If you do that, it's not necessarily totally up to you on the outcome, mm-hmm. right? Because there's other people involved. Jesus sacrificed himself for all mankind. Mm-hmm. But does everybody accept his salvation? No. Well, does that
and
mean Jesus a failure? He knew that some mm-hmm. people wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And so, but he still was willing to step up and do what, you know, offer himself for others, knowing that they would reject him,
mm-hmm.
knowing that they would spit in his face, knowing that they would, mm-hmm. you know, beat him
and
kill him. Yeah. And so, and I'm not trying to compare myself to Jesus. I'm saying as Christians,
we
have
know,
to follow that example,
body,
right?
So.
Yes. You know, we have to follow his example.
Yes.
And so that's where I was coming from, is I need to serve in whatever capacity
mm-hmm.
I can. And I feel called to government. I know mm-hmm. not everybody is. Like I said, I haven't been successful from the world's perspective as mm-hmm. far as electoral turnout mm-hmm. in every election, but I was successful because I stepped out and I did what God told me to do.
And how old were you, though?
So, first time I ran, I was actually younger, when I got elected to the state senate,
mm-hmm.
which, by running for that first seat, it helped me learn a lot of things. And then I met some people, and somebody called me and said, hey, did you know your state senate seat is open? You should pray about that. So I prayed about it, felt like, okay. So that first campaign set the stage for
exactly.
me on that next step, mm-hmm. on that path. And so then I got elected to the state senate when I was 29.
Mm.
So,
boy, what a burden.
Yeah, I was young, single, and it was very interesting mm-hmm. being in that capacity. And a lot of people were first, you know, just looking at the age aspect
mm-hmm.
of it. And so one of the things that I always did to counter that was I followed Paul's advice to Timothy,
mm-hmm.
study to show thyself approved.
Mm-hmm.
And so people know that I know my stuff.
Yes.
Like in the Senate, I'm known as the guy that knows the rules. When it comes to presenting a bill, people tried at first to get me with a gotcha question,
mm-hmm.
but they quickly realized that I knew my stuff. There was one senator, he wasn't nefariously trying to do it,
mm-hmm.
but I ask questions of other people
mm-hmm.
because I know they don't know the answers on their bills.
Mm-hmm.
So he tried to flip the script on me to do that. And he's like, on page 5, line 7, what are you changing mm. there on the bill? And I had my notes and I had everything written out. Everything. I said, there's nothing changing in that bill.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, how in the world could you possibly have known that? Well, because I had studied to show myself approved. I had everything lined out. And so.
And they could be pretty big.
Oh, yeah. This was like on a, and I just gave that those page numbers or whatever, but it was on mm-hmm. like a 50-page bill or
oh,
something,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, he was going to try and trick me. He thought, you know, but, and he actually was just doing it in a more friendly,
sure.
joking manner or whatever. But, you know, for what I tell people is you got to be willing to step out.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you see that there is an issue, you see that there isn't the leadership that is taking place, then, you know, and you're trying to find someone else to fill that role, that might be God telling you that it's mm-hmm. time for you to step up.
My God.
And you got to be willing to step out if God's leading or directing you in that way.
So, and as far as first of all, guys, is that not amazing? Now, listen, those of you who said you're waiting till you're 35, 40, 60, you now know you don't have to wait that long and that God can put that burden on your heart at a young age and he can put you in those seats. That's what our prayer is. I want to ask you about the spiritual climate that is assaulting our nation, first of all, and then the Republican Party. And have you felt the pressure? And what are some of the things that you can tell us to do about them?
There's definitely a spirit of division.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just here in Oklahoma. It's happening across the country.
Okay.
I'm hearing from other state party chairs that they're experiencing the same thing. A lot of it is the devil is using emotion.
Mm-hmm.
If he can get people emotional, if he can get them angry, Scripture doesn't say don't be angry. It says don't be angry and sin not. And that's what's happening with a lot of people is they're getting very angry and they're letting that emotion take over and make their decisions. Jesus was angry when he saw that what they had done to the temple,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, what did he do? He went and he was deliberate. He made a whip and
mm-hmm.
he came back and then he drove them out. He didn't just respond in anger.
Mm-hmm.
He was very deliberate and intentional in that
mm-hmm.
because they were in the wrong in
yeah.
that. And so a lot of it, I think, is emotion, it's anger, tempers are rising because people see that things are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of wrong that is happening, that it's deliberate, that there's people trying to destroy our country, And because they haven't studied to show themselves approved, mm-hmm. because they haven't been involved, it can be very remote, emotional and reactionary, and that's what the devil wants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Impulse.
He wants impulse reactions mm-hmm. rather than scriptural reactions,
mm-hmm.
rather than, okay, if somebody offends you, take a brother and go and talk to them about it and try and get it addressed. No, what they want to do is they just want to go on social media
mm-hmm.
and scream and shout and yell about it to get likes.
Yeah.
And so the devil is using emotion. He's using the digital realm. He's using the perversion of society to get people stirred up
mm-hmm.
into this frenzy because he wants conflict.
Mm-hmm.
He wants things to come to blow. He wants people to destroy and tear down each other rather
that's
than
true.
Build up. And so that's what we're seeing. It's all these people are trying to destroy down, tear down whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Every pillar, every institution.
Exactly.
You know, and I said to in a meeting, I said, you know, we don't realize these people have been trained to hate us. There is a knee-jerk reaction when you say Christ,
mm-hmm.
Christian, church, Christian. There's this knee-jerk hostility. All of a sudden, this other face comes over them, and they're ready to destroy you on those simple words.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that in your years of doing this, my goodness, you must have met it a lot. Did you meet more with your colleagues or with the public?
It truly depends on the situation.
Okay.
So, but I do like to use the quote, you know, the demons screech when they're exposed to the truth.
Yes, they are.
And we're seeing a lot of
they
that
go
happen. And so it really depends on what the situation was
okay.
or whatever. Most people in elected office, there are some very evil and nefarious people that are very much all about the power and the money and the control aspect of
okay.
it. Most of them are coming at it from a good perspective. They want to serve, but they don't have a good biblical foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they bought into the lie of separation mm-hmm. of church and state. They don't have a good constitutional foundation.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have. They're just a good individual that just wants to do what's right, but they don't know how to make those decisions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're prime for the devil to come in and take advantage of them
mm-hmm.
and abuse them because they don't know what they don't know, and they're not comparing it to the mirror of the word or
mm-hmm.
scripture and stuff. So for the most part, they're pretty good. But there are people that definitely are very evil and nefarious that are trying to do
mm-hmm.
that. And then you do have organizations and people out there in the community, in different organizations or different things that are just obviously pursuing
mm-hmm.
an agenda that has been set by the devil. And some of them flat out know it
mm-hmm.
and they embrace
and
it. And yeah, that's their goal. But others, they're deceived.
Yeah.
You know, they're blinded to the truth. And so the thing that will help them is if the light of truth is exposed
mm-hmm.
to them.
Yes.
That's why we have to be vocal. We
mm-hmm.
can't. They're not going to know the truth unless they're told the truth.
Yes.
And so we can't just sit idly behind and wait for somebody else to say it or just solely pray. We
mm-hmm.
need to absolutely pray.
Absolutely.
But that's why we need people like you're saying. We need prophets that will actually speak
mm-hmm.
the truth, because the truth is what will set people free.
Exactly. Well, you know, we've had a great time, so we're winding down. So I'm going to ask you two things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I'm going to ask you to give us one more cohesive thing we can start tomorrow to begin to do our part in turning this thing around. And then lastly, I'm going to ask you to pray for my viewers, but also to pray for this podcast, that it goes where it needs to go and lands where it needs to land, because you are a praying man.
So with the what needs to be done, I always encourage people, when it comes to praying for government, I encourage them in three regards.
Okay.
First of all, praying that hidden things would be revealed.
Mm.
Jesus said that in the Gospels, that all things would be laid bare, that hidden things would be revealed. There's so much that happens behind closed doors in, you know, the cigar-filled
mm-hmm.
rooms, the smoke-filled rooms and everything, that hidden things need to be revealed. There's so many deals that take place and all kinds of other things like that happen. The other thing I encourage people to pray is that God would raise up men and women with a heart like King David.
Mm.
We saw when Saul got off base, when he was no longer doing what God told him to do, that the prophet went out and anointed David.
Mm-hmm.
And David was raised up to lead because he had a man after God's heart, which was a man for the people, a man with a heart for God. That's what a heart after things of God is, for the people
mm-hmm.
and for God. And that's what we need, is we need
mm-hmm.
people like that to be raised up. And sometimes it takes time
yeah.
to get them raised up. That's why we need to be praying about it right now. And the other thing that I encourage people is the Ephesians prayers,
mm-hmm.
especially, pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know the hope unto which God has called them, that they would personally experience God's love. If their eyes are open, if they have hope, if they're pursuing that hope that comes through Christ, if they have the love of Christ shed abroad in their hearts, then they will be making better decisions and different decisions.
Absolutely.
Especially if all three of those things come together. So that's what I always encourage people when you're praying for government, for leaders, people in those positions. Those are the three key main things. There's obviously all kinds of other things that we can be praying. But those are the three main things that I always encourage people. And so I'll pull this out in prayer.
All right. I'm ready.
Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we can come together, that we can share your good news. We thank you for this podcast, that it will be sharing the truth to people that maybe have never heard it before, or those that need to be stirred up in that. They need to be encouraged. That this would serve as a word of encouragement and confirmation for them, that they would know that they need to be bold in their faith, in whatever capacity they are serving in whatever area of their life, they have an opportunity to be a leader in that area. So we ask that they would lead from a place of the Word, a place of God's Word being proclaimed through their lives, that they would be an example and that they would be bold in that. No longer would we be a silent majority here in this nation or around the world, but that your people called by your name would stand up and be vocal in proclaiming the good news and proclaiming the truth so that the truth can set people free. I proclaim that this podcast will be a podcast of truth, that it will break the bondage of the enemy, those things that the enemy is trying to use to blind people with falsehoods and lies, that when they see this truth, they will be freed. They will be delivered. And so we thank you that this will stir people, whether they're called to government, whatever they're called to do, that they will be able to operate in that prophetic word of proclaiming your gospel, proclaiming the word of Jesus, proclaiming your word made life, so that that other people can first and foremost receive salvation.
Yes.
That's the ultimate goal, but also so that they can live that godly and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, just as Timothy said that we should pray for kings and all who are in authority, so that they can come to know the truth, but so that we can live that godly and peaceable life. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish through this. We thank you for the prophetic words that you will speak through Dr. Price. We thank you that people's lives will be changed, they will receive confirmation, they will step up and do what you've called them to do. We thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. Thank you for it. In his name, amen.
Amen. Family, was that amazing? Now, a couple of things I want you to do. I want you to listen to that prayer over and over again. Hey, don't stop at the prayer. Why don't you listen to the entire podcast again and again? Secondly, I'm going to ask you to share it so that we can get busy for the Lord in turning this thing around. But lastly, I'm going to ask you to continue to pray for us, pray for Senator Dom and all of these people who are on the front lines, because this broadcast is showing you how many people are on the front lines and they need us. They need our prayers. They need our dedication. And guess what else? They need us to become politically astute. Well, our time has run out. Thank you for joining me today. Make sure that you share this. But most importantly, remember, God starts everything with a prophet, because he does everything with his word. God bless you. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning into the Spirit of Faith Political Prophetics podcast. If you are a local, regional, or national civil or kingdom leader, politician, or city or state official interested in being interviewed by Dr. Price, visit okspiritoffaith.com and complete the interview request form.